You're listening to The Naked Scientists with Kate Lamble and me, Ginny Smith. Earlier on, we asked you, what links asparagus, a gas cooker, and a skunk?
We're not going to tell you quite yet, but we've already had a few tweets in response. Alex, who's at Procrastibaking, excellent name, on Twitter has sent his in, and a couple more as well, but we're going to keep you in suspense for a bit longer. If you want to get in touch with your answer, you can email Chris at The Naked Scientists, or you can tweet at Naked Scientists.
Now, short and damaged DNA fragments are found pretty much everywhere, and in some environments, they can survive more than 500,000 years. But this week, a paper published in PNAS showed that bacteria can pick up these stray DNA sequences from their environment and incorporate them into their genomes, even DNA from a 43,000-year-old woolly mammoth bone. To find out more, we're joined by Eske Villeslav from the Centre for Geogenetics at the University of Copenhagen. Hi there, Eske.
Hello.
So what was it you decided to look at in this paper?
We wanted to investigate if bacteria can actually incorporate all the broken DNA, all the damaged DNA that is in the surroundings, if that can be incorporated into the genomes. Obviously, we have known for a long time that long stretches of DNA from two bacteria that are very closely related can actually be swapped between the cells. But it was unknown whether, you can say, very short and very damaged DNA, such as ancient DNA, can actually be incorporated into the bacterial genome. And this is what we show is possible in the PNAS paper.
So how do the bacteria actually sort of pick up these bits of DNA?
It seems like it's actually happening more or less spontaneously. So we think it's when they eat, some of that DNA can then be incorporated into the genomes.
Why would they want to do that? Is this useful for them in some way?
Yeah, it's a good question. You can say the interesting part here, I think, is that in principle that allows for the bacteria to get to stages that might have been lost even for thousands of years. For example, let's say antibiotic resistance. And in this case, you know, a bacteria can actually, by taking up a very short piece of DNA, become antibiotic resistant.
So does this have an impact on the way we deal with antibiotic-resistant bacteria? So at the moment, I know there's lots of constraints around medical waste, but they don't have to make sure that the DNA is completely destroyed, as far as I know.
Mm-hmm. No, exactly. I think this is something that definitely should be investigated further because, as you rightfully point out, hospitals, et cetera, I mean, people are taking a lot of care to try killing off bacteria on surfaces, but obviously with alcohol, I mean, that doesn't destroy the DNA totally. And that means that in principle, you can say antibiotic-resistant bacteria that has been on surfaces have been killed off, then a new group of bacteria can come and actually incorporate some of that damaged DNA after even weeks or months, incorporated that into the genomes and then becoming resistant that way. I mean, one of the big questions, of course, that still remains is how often does this happen in nature? I mean, we know certainly now that it can happen, that it's possible, and it's also possible, you can say, with bacteria that we know are out there in the environment, but it's still an open question, how often do it really happen in nature?
So we talk about this DNA being damaged. Does that not have a negative effect on bacteria that pick it up if there's something wrong with the DNA?
Well, it doesn't seem to be the case. And this was one of the really surprising discoveries. I mean, first we tried with very fragmented DNA and was also surprised that they could take up even things like 20 base pair pieces. But when we additionally introduced a lot of different types of damages, misincorporations, I mean, it was a big surprise to us that they actually take it up anyways. It doesn't seem to hold them back. And then, you know, finally we did the experiment with a grind-up woolly mammoth bone. And this was just to show that it's not only DNA which has been artificially damaged by us or artificially shortened, that if we actually use some DNA which is truly ancient, truly damaged, then the bacteria can still take it up.
Is there a lot of this ancient woolly mammoth type DNA lying around in the real world? Is this something we should actually be worried about?
There's a lot of it hanging around. I don't think the most interesting thing, though, is the mammoth DNA, because what is much more important is that there is tons of ancient bacteria DNA hanging around in the environment. And that bacteria DNA will be source, potential source, for being incorporated into living bacteria. So if you imagine, you know, along riverbanks, along, you can say, the surfaces of land masses, etc., where we all the time get ancient sediments being released out in the ocean, out in the water, etc. And with that, we will release tremendous amounts of ancient bacteria DNA. And the question is then, to what extent do this ancient bacteria DNA come into play?
Well, hopefully you'll be able to find out for us. Thanks a lot to Eske Villeslav from the University of Copenhagen, who published that this week in PNAS.